Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we ask ourselves if it's worth the fight. You said it would be.
Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. My name is Kyle. This week on The Conversation, yes, there was actually a Democratic debate with more than just Hillary Clinton. There were actually five Democrats, not that that made a difference, you know. But anyways, we'll get into that. Also, there is actually new evidence. There is a teenager with no access to TV that has actually had no idea of what happened, and he may have discovered the Malaysian plane that went down. Also, I don't know what to do anymore. Playboy's not going to have nude photos in their magazine. Crap. I'll get into that. Also, 1962, the Anglin brothers. Actually, evidence that they escaped the rock and they survived and lived out their life in Brazil and may be dead, may not. But as of 1975, there's a photo that's believed to be them in Brazil. So, from what we can tell, they actually survived the rock. Also, as we move forward with this, I will get into the Cubs. Imagine what the World Series tickets will go for if the Cubs actually make it to the final game. Oh, they go for hundreds of thousands. Also, I saw my muscle doctor today. I'll get into that much, much more. So welcome to the conversation, folks. And Isaiah 41:14, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And welcome. I want to get into this Malaysian story because this is really, really cool. There's actually Jamal Omar is this teenager's uncle, and I guess I don't even know the teenager's name. He has no access, he lacks access to television and newspapers and didn't even realize the significance of his find. And I guess they found a piece that they can prove belongs to the Malaysian airliner. But I guess he found a fuselage part with seats with skeletons in them, buckled in, and a ton of skeletons. And he saw a Malaysian flag. And this teenager that found this fuselage and this information didn't have access, so he didn't even know what he had found. You know, we have all these technologies, planes and sonar and everything, and some guy from some third world country with no access to anything, hunting birds in the island of Tuai Tuai. That's God. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm religious, but when you least expect it. I mean, as I quick jump off the subject, when did I meet my wife? When I stopped looking. You know, that was God. You know, when we stopped looking, a little teenager ended up finding this, and I guess the Malaysian authorities and the transportation minister is actually investigating this, and hopefully it can provide closure to the families. And that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal. And I just thought that was a really cool story. So, you know, I mean, it brings a closure to it, and you know, it's just one of those things that really, that I'm always fascinated by stuff like that, and it's just amazing that, you know, that when you use all this technology, I mean, when you think about it, if you go back to like World War II and stuff, when they use Native Americans and their language because they found out that the countries couldn't, like when we used these Cherokee people to use their language back and forth. No one could decode, no one could figure out what it was. You know, if we used any other language, they could find someone, but when they used the Cherokee, no one could actually figure it out, and they could get messages back and forth without people finding out what it was. And, you know, technology is not always the greatest thing. And it's just amazing. And, wow, I can remember, how many of you, I know where the stash was in my house. Somebody my dad knew, when he died, gave him his life subscription to Playboy, and I think it was like 20 years or more you had to have, and it was like a life subscription. And I guess for me, I liked the magazine for one thing, and now it's more a nostalgic thing, because when you look at the magazine and you have like Magnavox tape cassettes, and it had like a $300 tape cassette. I mean, now you can buy a CD player for $5, you know, probably, but tape,
yeah,
at Walmart.
Yeah.
But when they had like laser disc when they came out, and I saw an advertisement for a black and white Scotch, which I've never even heard of, you know, and then they had, and they would have all the advertisements like, this is the lowest, you know, Winston Lights, the lowest tar of any cigarette manufacturer. Now you find out that, hell, there is no difference. You know, you might as well smoke unfiltered, you know, you're going to die anyways from them. But hey, it was just all those old advertisements for things that, you know, like, man, if you would have taken $1,000, which would have been a lot of money back there, and buy those gold coins that they advertised down there, you could retire.
So if Playboy's not going to put news, what are they going to put?
It's just going to be like a People magazine, just with articles, and because those old.
I don't see that working. I just don't.
I guess here's the thing, and I'm actually talking with my wife, so she's actually in the studio. But anywho, but when you, I guess, when you go online, you can see anything you want to. And when, okay, I was born in 75, and in 75 they had 5.6 million subscribers. Now they have 800,000. How can you afford to pay, you know, $1 million to a woman to get naked when you don't have that much revenue coming in from the magazine sales? And I think that lust is lost from, I mean, who wants to see Bruce Jenner in Playboy? I mean, really? AKA Caitlyn Jenner?
I just threw up a little bit.
But I mean, but seriously, I think that the days of seeing like a Lady Gaga naked is not that big of a thing anymore, to see like someone famous, whoever it would be.
10 years old, you wanted to see whoever, Lady Gaga naked.
But most people now don't want that. Sorry, but I don't see that. I
think you're wrong. Little boys want to see, or teenage boys want to see naked women. Period.
Well, that wasn't their target audience. Playboy always had the my age now was the target person, a 30 to.
They were delusional.
I don't remember.
You look at your dad. I know where my dad's stash was.
But I guess you look at it like this though. You couldn't buy it at 13.
No.
So how can Hugh Hefner say
you can't legally drink or smoke at age, but you found ways to do it?
No, but I guess you don't understand what I'm saying, okay? Hugh Hefner didn't go, okay, let's have Vanna White in there because a 12-year-old wants to see her naked when she posed in like when she did it in lingerie. Hugh Hefner's though saying, who can I get in Playboy that a kid's gonna want to see? He's not going to say, let's get
a teenager or like a 20-year-old.
Hugh Hefner wasn't thinking, okay, well, a 14-year-old, let me see, would he like to see Demi Moore naked? No, he never thought that. He was looking at the demographic that was 30-plus.
20-plus. Younger than 30.
Oh, whatever. The younger than 20 crowd was when they did the college issues.
Whatever.
See, you don't even know you're a chick.
Never.
as we move on, folks. Yes, me and my wife. Now, what the hell? Bring my wife into the debate. Why not? But anywho, as we move forward into what I wanted to get into next, this is one thing I really wanted to talk about, and then I'll get into the GOP debate, is there's actually photo evidence. I don't know if you saw this. It was on the Discovery Channel on Monday, where the Anglin relatives of the Anglins had photos that were taken in 1975 that reportedly show the two Anglin brothers in Brazil, and they made it out alive. And they had a photo analyst expert look at the photos, okay? And he said, if it was me and I was in court, I'd be like, okay, we need to round up the pot. We need to go after them. They're alive. They're, you know, that's them. I would say about 95% of certainty that is both Anglin brothers. And it's just amazing because you always wonder, did they make it and did they not? And I guess there's evidence now that what they did was when the boats that would leave once in a while to take people off the rock, they attached a cord to one of the boats and they went on their raft and they body surfed basically, and the raft and the motorized boat took them out. And then once they got to a certain part, they let go. And then they were picked up by another, because I guess there's evidence that someone said that he thought that he saw that a boat came by and picked people up, and there's evidence that they were picked up by another boat, you know, that was brought there from the outside and all this. And it's just, I think it's just really fascinating because you always wonder, did they make it, did they not? Now there's actually photo evidence that really much, pretty much proves, you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt that, yes, we don't know how, if they're still alive or how long they lived, but from 1975, you know, there's a photo that basically proves that they're around. And I thought that was, I'm a history buff. That's why I love the feast and all of doing stuff. And it's just amazing, you know, because I always like to talk about stuff like that. Like actually is, there's a lady, and I want to get into this too. It wasn't even on my list, but there was a lady yesterday that reportedly found a photo in a antique thrift store for $2, and it's believed to have Billy the Kid in the photo. And she's been reported to be able to get possibly as much as $5 million for the photo. But I don't know if I can get rid of it if I had Billy the Kid in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know if I could. I mean, I could see if I could get some way to put it in a museum or something.
Donate it to a museum, yeah. A Western museum, thing like that. That would be cool.
Yeah. But it's just, I don't know, it's just fascinating. You know, because you never know that's why. Because it's amazing when you think, okay, like, this is why we do stuff at the feast, and then you find out, well, it's not really, because, like, when they've done archaeological digs at the actual site, and they'll find something like, what was this? They have no idea why they would have used this. There was no logical explanation for some things that they found. They're like, what is this? It looks like a concrete tube. They can't think for the life of them what, and they're asking anybody and anyone that wants to give an opinion what it might be, go right ahead. And it's just, excuse me, it's one of those things that fascinates me. It's like a lot of these archaeological digs that I've gone to where they'll talk about what they found and stuff, they end up with more questions than answers. And it's just, I mean, I guess, like I always say, you can't know where you're going if you don't know your past. Because if you don't know where you've been, how do you know if you know this doesn't work, don't do it. The bottom line, you know,
too logical.
Oh yeah, this just in. I'm getting this in my earpiece. Someone is telling me that I didn't know I had a conversation until I had a conversation. So that's as we move on into the Democratic debate. I actually have one of my good friends. She like she can't wait to see Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. I could see Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders against Donald Trump and, you guessed it, my boy, Ben Carson. I could see Ben Carson and Donald Trump coming together, because I don't know if you've heard about this, but before I get into the debate, they've actually considered boycotting the CNBC debate that's on the 28th of October, because they say it's going to be 3 hours. They want to have it 2 hours with complete, you know, with everything, with the commercials and all. You know, they want to give everyone a chance to opening statements and this and that, and I don't know. I guess I'm so done with this, because I've been there, done that. I've lost friends because I'm a KKK supporting Aryan Brotherhood racist because I disagree with Barack Obama, but I supported Herman Cain, who's black. I support Ben Carson, who's black. I support Marco Rubio, who is not white.
Married to a racist woman, though. So.
Oh, yeah. My wife is Native American, you know. No, I was politically correct. I've been PC now for never. But, I mean, you know, it's just, when you listen to that debate that they had with the Democrats, and they actually had more than one person. They had Hillary Clinton, they had Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley, Jim Webb, and Lincoln Chafee. And let me tell you something. And even Democrats are in shock when Bernie Sanders goes, you know what, folks? I'm sick and tired of hearing about the damn emails. Let's talk about the issues. Because I told one of my friends today, I'm like, if she, okay, with these emails, if she had top secret emails on her thing and that's wrong, she should be, you know, she should be hung or whatever. She should, if it's illegal, she should be held responsible. And she's like, well, and of course it's one of these, well, look at what the Republicans did. I'm like, well, two wrongs, and I'll say this a million times, two wrongs don't make a right, folks. And they're never going to, you know, like on Fox News a couple years ago, they had a thing where it was like, let me see here. Oh, yeah, Barack Obama's played more rounds of golf than any president in history. And then the Democrats went off about what George Bush did. I'm like, well, okay, if George Bush did something and it's wrong, when is someone going to say, okay, enough's enough? Someone's got to, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, they're still blaming Bush in the debate.
Oh, I know. They were still, and this is why I kind of stand with Britain on one thing. I remember they do, I forget what, it's a celebration they do like every year, and the Queen actually said this. If the Britain people are doing without, so shall we. And they cut back drastically on this. Because this country should be looking at the French Revolution. Because that's what should be happening here. When you have Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Michelle Obama, and all those people living like billionaires, while most of us are cutting back and doing without.
And they tell us we're not paying it.
Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton combined earn 500 times more than the average American worker, but they were going off about the CEOs, the evil CEOs that make 300 times.
Provide jobs.
Yeah, and provide jobs. You know, what, I mean, why don't we tax the politicians?
You mean I'm out of the again?
Yeah, I mean, but, I mean, I guess, I mean, I do have a problem with, because I know that if Sam Walton would be turning in his grave if he knew how Walmart was being run right now. When Sam Walton was alive, everything came from America.
Mm-hmm.
There was no liquor sold. I worked at a video store. We couldn't sell or have certain videos because we were in a certain radius of Walmart and they weren't allowed. Now they have like not a uniform, but this is what they want you to wear, a kind of shirt like this and pants, you know. They have like a kind of a dress code, not a uniform. But they don't really provide you any means to get a discount. Normally when you go to a store, if it's Banana Republic or The Gap or whatever, they give you a 30 or 40% discount and you can buy the clothes. so you can wear what you're selling. Walmart, hell, here's your 2% discount. Good luck. You know, it's just, and they're having actual commercials on there about that, you know, and it's just, when you have people on the, and I've said this a million times, okay, if there's a, like I've told my friend today, if there is a Republican that's doing the same thing as Hillary Clinton did and having private emails in a private server with government top secret emails on them that is jeopardizing our national security, they should be held accountable.
They
would be. MSNBC would be, Aaron, believe me, wanting them hung.
That's all we would hear.
Mm-hmm. That's all you would hear. I mean, I support medical cannabis and legalization of marijuana as much as anybody. But I'm not going to vote for Bernie Sanders just because he would do that. Because I guarantee as soon as he got elected, here's $100 million from the pharmaceutical company. You're going to end your thing about medical marijuana.
He wouldn't.
Oh, I know. He'd be like, that dirt. I mean, he reminded me of the Nutty Professor. I mean, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't, like Hillary Clinton said, and she was the brightest one of the bunch. She won the debate. And what was her biggest thing? I didn't have a stance on the Keystone Pipeline until I had a
stance
on it or something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't have a view on the, I didn't have an opinion on the Keystone Pipeline until I had an opinion on it. Well, really, and you're like the smartest one there. You won the debate. But what I try to do, folks, if you're new to the conversation and you're listening, okay, if you want to vote for Hillary, that's great. Know what she stands for. Know her accomplishments. Yeah, she has none. You know, that's, I try to get people past this. Okay, let's grow up, folks. If it's wrong for a Democrat to do it, it should be wrong for a Republican to do it. I had somebody who goes, like, he's going to destroy the GOP. I'm like, we need to have a third party. Like, we don't have a third party. We have a one-party, we don't even have two-party. We have a one-party system. Most of the Republicans are basically progressives.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
I actually used to worry about that, but where the Republican Party is, it needs to be destroyed. But it's not a Republican Party anymore.
No. It's not the people. It's the government against the people. It's not for the people. No. And I guess I've always been that Tea Party type independent person that, okay, I never... The one president that I wish I could have voted for, the only one I really stood for was Ronald Reagan. And I was not old enough. Other than that, to me, it's the old South Park. It's between a douche and a turd sandwich. I didn't like any of them. Okay, who's going to screw me the least? You know?
Or at least you move.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. You know, it's amazing how I get raked over the coals all the time. I'm like that South Park episode they did, and I relate a lot because I've seen every single South Park episode, even the one that they only aired one night where it made fun of Muhammad, and then they never aired it again. They did one where they had the fighting over the South Park flag and had like four white guys hanging a black guy, and then they had like four people in the end hanging it, but it was a black guy involved, and they went back and forth and back and forth and. You know, and I've never, and I'm like those kids. In the end, it's like, you know, oh, we didn't look at it like that. And they were so, I mean, I guess I've been so not racist that I've never looked at anything like race. I mean, I guess in a way, like Carlos Mencia said, we all kind of do, because I don't care who you are, if you're white, black, Asian, whatever, if you're going down a dark alley in New York City and there's a black guy walking behind you, you're going to turn your back no matter, even if it's a white guy, I'd be questioning. anybody.
If I'm a woman, I don't care what the skin color is. I don't want to be in a dark alley with anybody I don't know.
Yeah. And it's not racial. But
no.
I've never felt, it wasn't until all of a sudden when people started saying, oh, no, man, you, let me tell you something, dog. Man, you racist as hell, man, because to see if Barack Obama was white, you'd be praising that man. Like,
no.
So I'd be praising a guy in an administration that used a company that Canada fired to start a government-run healthcare website. Why would you use a company that someone's fired? I don't know. I mean, especially when you have a bunch of the people that were here, a lot of these immigrants say, hey, I came to this country for the health care we had. You wanna have government control health care? You go to Venezuela, you go to my country. Health care is free in North Korea. Well, there is no health care. You know? It's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I value my health care. I have issues, and I'll get into my doctor visit. But as I talk about more about this debate, it's just some of the things I think the biggest thing I noticed was they couldn't say the word capitalism. We're a capitalist society. We're a democratic society.
Now they were saying what was wrong with capitalism.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I look at it like this, and I've said this before. If you're a CEO and want to put $5 million into your bathroom, that's your choice. That's your company. But if your company's going under and not making it, you have the right as a consumer, as an employee, and saying, hey, you know what? Guess what? He's putting $5 million into his bathroom, and we're getting paid minimum wage. Let me see here. Why don't we all walk out and find another job? Don't shop at that place. You know, let natural selection work its way out. We shouldn't have to have, oh, we're going to make sure that we're going to pass a government, that we're going to pass a federal law that says what a CEO of his company can or can't do. I don't want that. I would love to start a restaurant someday, possibly. Or who knows, maybe a cannabis shop if it ever becomes legal, or a clothing store that sells hemp clothes. I don't want to have the government tell me how I have to run my store, because, you know, if he wants to spend billions of dollars on himself, he should. It's his company. But if it goes under, he should suffer the consequences. And if you disagree with the way that employee is deviating the money that he's making, then you have the right to say, no, I'm not going to spend my money there. I mean, like I said, Walmart, you know, Sam Walton would be turning in his grave if he knew the way that place was being run. It just sickens me. You know, but you have all these Democratic people. Well, Bernie Sanders says, at least he admits he's a socialist and wants socialism. I want to see, you know, everyone else is kind of like, I mean, it's like you had those five people debating and they couldn't, I mean, I grew up in a society that was supposed to be of limited government, or a government for the people, not against the people. I mean, let me help you. Here's some help, not a career. This is, okay, here's some money in to get some food and bread and cheese just to help get you by until you're on your feet. And then when you're on your feet, not, well, this is a card that every month you'll get $200 so that you can buy. And then people try to, well, you know, hey, if I can do this for over, let me see here now. If I keep this up, I can get $900 every week without working. There should be major limitations to all these. But I guess if you got a kid and all this stuff, they can't, well, you can't deprive, well, no, they should say, okay, well, the amount that you get is going to slowly decrease. You know, there are jobs out there. Yeah.
And don't get help at all.
Yeah, and if you don't have a kid like my wife, you don't get no help at all. It's, you know, but what do they want to do? They just want to. They actually want to give you the whole kit and caboodle, including the kitchen sink. I want to have Wall Street pay for college. So you want to have Wall Street that probably can't afford it pay for degrees for people that are going to go into careers that aren't even available anyways. Go to if you want to actually work with your hands, Caterpillar, whatever that cat, the company that makes all the diesel engines, they're looking for people. There are jobs out there for people that want to work with their hands. But everyone wants to go to college so they can get a degree so they can be the CEO right out of college.
Well, you know, they say we need the immigrants because we won't do what they do.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have them, we wouldn't have to.
But, I mean, like Audi a couple years ago, they decided to build the plant in Mexico. Why? Because why pay $27, $28, $29, $30, $31, $32 an hour when they can go down there and have the same thing done for $6? You know, I guess I look at it like this, and it's the last day of the pledge drive as I move a little bit forward with K-Love. But, you know, when we live in a society where having a 64-inch big screen TV with an Xbox, a PlayStation, and that's poor, you don't understand. I can't imagine having to eat a dirt cake, a mud pie, just to have something in your stomach to keep you, you know, so you're not complaining about food. You know, but hey, kids are going to complain. I guess I grew up because my dad spent most of my childhood overseas. And you don't even know how lucky we are to live in the country we live in and to have the freedoms we have. Not that they're not going away, not that they're not being taken, you know, because they're trying to find any way they can to get rid of guns and everything else, even though, what was it, in 1937, they passed a law to make marijuana illegal, and it's been in this country in some form every day since. But they passed, you know, that's why we got to have gun control. Not gun control, but we got to have better background checks, so... Let me get this straight. Why am I as a criminal gonna? How is a background check gonna stop me from getting a gun if I'm a criminal? I'm not gonna go through the proper channels. I'm gonna break into someone's house, take their gun, and use it. But you know, that was being logical in the debate. You know, God forbid, you know. When you look into the statistics, every time a guy with a gun is shooting up a place, when someone comes in with a gun, he ends it. I'm a gun owner. And let me tell you, I don't even... If you came up to me and said, Kyle, I want to ask you a question. I said, sure, shoot. Okay, what would you do if a guy put a gun to your head? I don't know. Until it actually happened, I couldn't tell you. I've played paintball before, and I didn't think I could be seeing it. Bam, right in the head. Right in the mask, I got hit with a paintball. And so I couldn't imagine what I would... I don't know what I'd do if I was in, like, a Walmart and a guy was robbing the place and it was one guy. I know one thing, you know, I would try to let it play itself out. And if it came to, you know, having to do... Like, I would... I would try to not do anything, and if it came to having to protect myself, then I'd probably do something, but I'm not going to sit there, okay, let's just, you know, I mean, if he took money and left, let him go, okay, and, you know, if he started shooting up, then I might say, okay, maybe I have to try to do something, but if I would, I don't know, I couldn't really tell you unless I was put in that situation, but I would love to be able to have that option. To carry. You know, but as Democrat, but that's what they want to be seen as. See, the American people that support the Democratic Party, for the most part, they don't know anything. wow, I'm going to get free college, free healthcare, free this. They're going to give me everything. I'm going to get a phone, too. And who's paying for it?
I don't know.
I don't know. And they've actually had people interviewed that when they ask them, well, who do you think's paying for this healthcare? I don't know. What do you think's giving you a phone? I don't know. What has Hillary Clinton done? I don't know.
And they don't care.
And I'm voting for anyways. I don't care. I mean, that's the problem. That's what just frustrates me. And I would support you in a heartbeat. I support Hillary Clinton, and this is what she's done, and this is why I support her. Well, you couldn't say what she's done because, oh, yeah, she allowed 4 people to die in Benghazi. And don't take my word for it. Take the word of a lady who investigated it because her son was killed. Because I had someone that went off on me, and I'm like, well, I should have you meet the lady who her son died. She would rip you to shreds. Because you're basically disrespecting those guys that died. Huh, you know, who cares? I'm just a evil racist because I disagree with the way this country's being run. Because I never thought I would get to the point in my life ever where I would be mocked for supporting the Constitution. I never thought I would get mocked for wanting smaller governments. How are you going to start a business if, okay, here's a 7,000-page book. You're going to have to read this and make sure you're up to code with all this stuff because if not, you're going to be fined. Okay. Because I had a guy that was going to work at a kitchen in Illinois in a healthcare facility, and they gave him this book. I said, this is a book you're going to have to read and get up to with all this code with HIPAA and everything. And he's like, oh, forget that. You know, I mean, my business is hard to get in, is hard to stay into because it's hard to find people that are willing to put up with the pay cuts and the red tape with everything you have to, all the BS. Or now you can't even, because when she was speaking to you, you know, someone close to you could have heard that conversation and we can't have that. So we're going to have to suspend you until you learn to realize that if she's going to talk to you about her health, that you need to make sure that you guys are somewhere else where no one else can hear, you know, because, you know, we got all these HIPAA laws, which, you know, if you want to know, I'll tell you, you know, most of the people, if I would say something on here about someone, I have their permission always. I would say, hey, if you want me to talk about you or send a prayer chain out, I'll do it. Because if you go back to actually some of the very beginnings, I have like 3 conversations that are called My Myopathy and actually goes through what I deal with. As I move forward, I just want to get into, I went to the doctor today. If you don't know, I have a metabolic myopathy and I see a doctor at the IU Neuroscience Center in Goodman Hall. And it's my once a year where I get to go to Einstein Bagels. It's good. Yeah, they have like, I got a bagel sandwich with egg and cheese. And of course, my wife's like, well, you could have went with me too, but you had to work. And I felt bad. But it's like I didn't have time to eat, so I fly up there. Of course, my wife's playing the smallest violin.
Because I know someone like my family might not know what my metabolic myopathy is.
Okay. Just so in case someone out there doesn't know, basically, and it's explained in my actual myopathy, my 30-minute myopathy shows that I did explain that because someone actually wanted to know. But basically, my body, your body's a gas station. And your body says, okay, I need oil, I need gas, I need antifreeze, I need all this. My body doesn't produce some of that. And as I run and move, my body doesn't produce a lot of that. And my muscles get sore. I mean, when I was in Paris in 2007 for the Rugby World Cups, I was before I found the Metro train and going in, you know, the subways, the NSAF and stuff like that to get around. I got back to my apartment where I was staying for foreign exchange students. And I had to take a tramadol, one of my pain pills, and I had to stand up until it took effect because I couldn't lie down because it hurt so bad. I tried to lie down and it was hurt my leg so bad I was crying. And so I went and saw my doctor today, and of course there's an intern that like can ask questions, and I'm like, okay. And she goes, hey, I'm so and so, and hi, my name's Kyle Wolkert. And she goes, yeah, you got a myopathy or whatever. You want to explain like what kind of medications do you take? What are you on? I'm like, well, I used to be on Lortabs and Orphenadrine, and I don't use them anymore. I use CBD oil. And she goes, so what's up with the hydrocodone and stuff? I said I kind of felt like I was like an addict, like trapped. And she goes, well, what? I'm like confused. What do you mean? I'm like, well, I want to be normal, and I almost lost it. I'm like, I want to be normal like everyone else. I don't know what it's like to be in without pain, without, you know. And I said, I feel like, okay, if I want to be normal, I need to have this medication. I feel like, well, if I don't have it, I'm not normal, and I can't feel like everyone else, and I just feel like I'm trapped. You know, like, well, if I, you know, and I'm a huge cannabis supporter, and I found out that, like, I have a bag in my car that's made out of industrial hemp, and they found out that when they've studied the industrial hemp, they found out that a lot of the strains have high amounts of CBD, which is cannabidiols, and they actually grow in Washington State and a couple other states where it's legal hemp that's high in CBD, and they extract the CBD and purify it and put it into an oil form, and that's where I get it. And
it is amazing.
It's amazing. And she's like, wow. And I showed her my shoes because I wear Z-Cole Primarily footwear. And she's like, you know, and she's just asking all these questions, and I'm letting her know all this stuff. And then my doctor comes in, and he was basically telling me this, well, cannabis is very, very, very vital. And basically, you know, it's hard to find at a legitimate level because it's a Schedule I drug, and it's still, I mean, still, even if you're in Colorado, it's still illegal.
But how does it if you use it?
You're a drug, and you know, oh, it's dangerous, but you can take other drugs that have already killed people, and, but anywho. But he'd write me a script and a heartbeat for it if it was legal and I can get it. I've already been told by like two doctors or three doctors that, you know, he even recommended I move to like Colorado or Michigan because I would qualify in a heartbeat. And it's not, I just want to be normal. I don't know what it's like to not be able, you know, like there's days that I get up in the, and I have to use every ounce of energy to get out of bed. It's not that I don't want to go. I don't want to do. I mean, there's times where it's like, okay, guess what? I got tickets to see the Dark Star Orchestra tonight. I wonder what dead show they're going to replay tonight. Oh, I can't wait. But I don't want to get out of bed. I'm sore and fatigued. It's not like, oh, here we go. I got to get up and go to work. You know, it's not that. It can be any day, you know. And that's just a little wrap up. You know, I'm not getting worse. I'm not getting better. So it's sort of like having a 50-pound, like a bag, like a backpack with 50 pounds in it, and I never get adjusted to the 50 pounds. So it's always like a struggle, but I just keep the faith and just keep going. And, you know, that was the biggest thing. It's like, okay, who's going to accept this? Am I going to find someone that's going to be understanding of this? Or are they just going to be like, oh, as soon as they hear this, they're going to be, bing. So my wife is just the greatest person in the world. And she, you know, I mean, for staying around and accepting me for what I have. And, you know, and she has fibromyalgia and stuff like that. So, you know, and that's what a relationship is, you know, being there for each other. And it's just, that's kind of the update, you know, on my thing. And I got to say this as I kind of move on real quick. I'm just so excited because my wife last night, for the first time, started a monthly pledge to KLEP. It's a Christian radio station, and it's funded by, because there's no commercials, so it's funded by us, people that do something and help out the ministry, and it's just great. And I'm just so excited that she did that. It's so cool. And I wanted to get into this before I forget, but Leanne Ramey, I don't know if you know her. She was on King of Queens, and she actually dated Zach on Saved by the Bell. She's actually coming out with a new book called Troublemaker, Surviving Hollywood and Scientology, because I guess she was brought up in the Church of Scientology and was in there for like 30 years. And I guess she's has a new book coming out, actually gets into the details and all this. And I guess I've heard a lot of people, and I guess she's really going to comes out with this.
Who was it again?
Leanne Ramey.
Oh, okay.
She was on the King of Queens. I don't know if I'm saying her name.
You're right. Yeah, you are.
But she's, I guess there's a lot of people that have come out recently that say, like, if you take the Dianetics by Owen Hubbard, you read that, and what they preach, they support, but they don't support, like, the church is like a criminal organization now. It's not, how would you say this, like, it's not legit. It's like, there's all kinds of, like, stuff that's not, I guess, like criminal activity crap kind of stuff that I guess
shady.
Is shady, you know, and because there was a guy that was interviewed one time that said that he got it to, like, operating Thaden level 6 or whatever, and that's when he learned about the Lord Evils he knew and these space cruisers and stuff, and that's when he said, whoa, wait a minute. He left, and that's, and a lot of this stuff we know about the church, we only know because people that have gotten up to a high level and have seen things that just don't add up finally said, bye-bye, you know, this is, and then they come out with it, and then, because I guess when they did that Scientology episode, Locked in the Closet on South Park, they tried to keep them from doing that episode, but they couldn't find anything on Trey Parker or Matthew Stone to blackmail them with. So, and that's when they basically went to Chef and said, hey, you know, you need to get off of the show. And they basically, like, blacklisted him to get him off the show. But I absolutely love to look into that, because I've always been fascinated by that church, because the way they do things, and some of the, like, if you ever go on YouTube and you see some of these videos where they stalk people, and, you know, and...
Well, I understand she was worried about somebody's wife, one of the main people's wife, and that's when she started asking questions, and she got in trouble.
Yep, she was asking questions and stuff about somebody's, I mean, I guess I've heard that same thing, like Tom Cruise, they have stuff on him that they threaten him to leave. You know, like, you leave, hey, we're going to come out with all this. And I think Tom Cruise, if that's the case, I'd be like, well, go ahead. Yeah. And it's just crazy. And I just wanted to talk about that because I was, go on YouTube and look up, like, Scientology, like, psychos and stuff, and you'll find, like, videos, like, where these people stalk this guy, like, what are you afraid of? Mark, what are you afraid of? No, what are you afraid of? Come on, what are you afraid of? What are your crimes, Mark? You have crimes, man. What are they? And it's hilarious, because he'll joke with them, oh, I chopped the guy up, and I threw him in my basement. And then they start believing him at first, and like, huh. But it's just, I mean, it's scary. Some of the things that you find out, like, dude, the people that are higher up. And it's just going to be interesting to see if she actually goes into some detail about actual things that hierarchy. And because I guess she was kept from some of her family being in that church.
Yeah, and the family that's still in the church will not accept her. Like, almost like an Amish shunning.
Yeah, but it's like, whatever. But it's just interesting, you know, to, because I'm surprised they've lasted this long, you know. And as we move on, folks, it was a week off in the English Premier League, and one of my factoids, and my wife's going to laugh at this because I always throw these out there, but the number one selling jersey in the English Premier League right now is Schweinsteiger from Manchester United. And how do I know that? Because I learn all this. I always look up stuff. And And it's just, I think it's cool. I mean, as where does Manchester United go and move forward from here? We just got to learn from our mistakes. We're not going to be perfect. And we got to, you know, and you take someone like Van Gaal, he has a plan for us. And it's, you know, I've always been a supporter and I always will be, win, lose, or draw. You know, and I think going forward, we got the people we got. They're great. They got to learn to play together now. They just got to learn, okay, now that you got, you know, all these players, it's good. Because when you take, like, Martel, he's got to screw up. He's got to learn that he's not perfect. And he's done some amazing things. But he's also going to screw up at the same time, and he needs to realize that he's not perfect. And I think, you know, and, you know, you take, I think it's going to be, like I said, and I've said this a million times, the season, we got a long season ahead of us. And I think it's going to be an up and down. I think you're going to have the first place team like Man City. I think Manchester United might get back up there and lead, and then, you know, Arsenal might get up there. I think it's going to change a lot.
They're only third place, honey, or second.
Yep, but I think the first place team is going to change a lot. I think Arsenal might get up there, but then Man City might come, you know, so I don't think it's going to be like one team dominating like in some teams on some years in the past have. But I just think it's going to be one of these. I mean, and I love it because it's not like, okay, here we go, Manchester United, okay. It's not if they win, but by how much. You know, you never know what's going to happen. And I think it's drawing more excitement to the league and more people watching. You know, because I was talking to one of my friends, Michelle, and he was like, he was at a bar somewhere, I think in Ireland, I think, and kids were watching the Rugby World Cup. I'm like, he goes, starting them young. I'm like, yeah, they could start them young here if they didn't pay-per-view the damn thing. I complain about that, but I still don't know how they, doesn't make sense. I mean, and one thing I've not seen is Chevy spent $600 million on their emblem on the Manchester United jersey, but I don't see, they should have tons of commercials for Manchester United. They could increase the fan base.
You're right.
I mean, how do you take somebody and get them into rugby if a fan like me can't even watch 90% of the Rugby World Cup matches because they're like $27 pay-per-view each match? And I might actually splurge and get the final game just because, you know, but still, I mean.
That's why that's cheap.
Yeah, my wife will probably like, no. But,
final game, maybe.
Yeah, the final game maybe, but yeah. I would love to have seen more, but heck, you know, but that's, hey, I got Dutch in me too, so I don't want to hear it. I'm cheap. My wife's just a Jewish Dutch. Anywho, you want to talk about cheap? You're not going to find that if the Cubs make it to the World Series. You want to know what those tickets would go for? I couldn't even imagine if those, because I think, if they do it correct, if it's like they do it in the NFL, like season ticket holders, they do a lottery and they give a certain amount of tickets open a certain amount of tickets to the season ticket holders, and then from there, then they put the rest. And I'm telling
like
you what,
they get first choice.
Yeah, like they do a lottery, and if you get picked in this lottery, let's say there's 10,000 seats hypothetically, they'll take like 3,000. And if you get the lottery, 3,000 of you get a chance to get tickets. But heck, I would. Okay, let's sell the tickets and retire. Okay, yeah, I got two tickets. Yep, behind the bench. Yep, I want 400,000. I mean, but what's creepy is how this is the year that in the Back to the Future 2, they predicted the Cubs would win, and now it's coming to fruition somewhat, but. I'm just waiting for some bonehead guy to do something, you know, where he like catches the, where he, you know, where he interferes or something and it costs a game.
That person out.
Yeah. But, you know, I just think it's going to be neat. And it may, maybe it'll bring people back to baseball, cuz I'm a Tigers fan. But I just would love, I mean, who could not want to see the Cubs win the World Series? Unless you're the other team's fan. But then how could you be mad if they won? You'd have to be happy for them, you know? The lovable losers. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
If it was the Cubs versus the Tigers and the Cubs won their first World Series, and how many, that'd probably still be, I'd be happy for the Cubs, but at the same time disgusted that the Tigers didn't win, you know, but I just think it's going to be neat, you know. It's been how many, it's been 100 plus years since the Cubs made it, and they might actually do it. It's been a long day. I've been up since 6 a.m., so thank you all again for tuning in. 6:52 is when I woke up. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. And I always want to thank everyone for being there and listening. Because, like, people don't understand, I pay to do this show. I don't have advertisers. Did you hear me stop in the hour for a commercial break? No, you didn't. Anything I talk about, I come up with, I research, I look into it, I do all the, fine. I don't have like 25 million people doing all my work. I do it all. You know, and I really do appreciate all my listeners. And it just, it's just something I always wanted to do, because I just want to get, I guess I felt led when I saw these people that I vote for Barack Obama. Well, who's his running mate? John McCain, that's who I voted for. Barack Obama with his running mate, and they, you know, if you said, yes, I voted for Barack Obama and his running mate is Joe Biden, this is why I voted for him, because of this and this and this, then I can say, okay, yes, you've done your homework. You know why, I know why you're voting for Hillary Clinton. I know why you want Bernie Sanders, because you've got 75 bongs in your bedroom and he's going to legalize. But, okay, that doesn't, but let me, I guess, as I reiterate, that's 1% of the reason why I vote for him, but there's the other 99% that scares me, mm-hmm. You know? Just, I guess, got about 90 seconds left in the program, folks, and I mean, that's how I am. I want you to look at everything, okay? If you're going to tell me that, well, this Republican did this, you're going off about a Democrat, well, then where did I say it was right that, you know? I mean, there's evidence, what I don't know, and I don't think we'll ever know. There's evidence that when Saddam Hussein was in power, he kept ISIS from spreading. With 60 seconds left, we are not going to be able to do anything in the Middle East when the fighting has been going on for way longer than we've been a country. The fighting in the Middle East has been going on for thousands of years. But, oh, I am Hillary Clinton, I'm Barry Sanders, I'm Ted Cruz, or whatever, I'll fix everything. It's not going to happen, folks.
Read
Genesis. And you'll, but anywho, wow, what a program. Just amazing. Maybe we'll find out in the next couple months whether the Anglin brothers are still alive or not. And I leave you with this. God bless you. Good night. Until next week. Take care. Have a great evening. Goodbye.